let's get going here. I also want to just welcome our online community. That's been growing a lot late, so thank you guys so much for joining us on Facebook and YouTube. And we're really glad to have you guys virtually and in person. All right, so my lovely wife, Breezy. Does everyone know Breezy? Raise your hand, babe. Woohoo! All right. So she gave me some feedback that I'm very fidgety. I have a lot of energy, and so I brought a stool today to see if I could sit. I probably won't last long, but I'm going to try my darndest. All right, well, we are in the Identity in God series, and guys, I have just been, like, I've been wrecked by this series from the different messages, from just studying. God is just, he is so passionate about us knowing who we are and us knowing who he is and walking in freedom in the place that we know who we are as sons and daughters of God. And then even deeper than that, that he calls us by names that only we know. And it's such a special thing because out of the place of knowing who we are, there is so much authority. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in this place, in Restoration and in Pagosa. I thank you for what you're doing in the worldwide church right now of just listening to other brothers and sisters that are passionate about identity and freedom. And so I pray that you would open our ears to hear and hearts to receive this morning what you want to say to us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for those who weren't here last week, Justin, we're doing kind of a tag team on forgiveness. And so last week we talked about forgiveness from a biblical perspective or legal forgiveness. And so if you didn't hear that, hop on the podcast or our website or YouTube, listen to that. It was a phenomenal message. And he broke down the process of forgiveness that that obviously Jesus came and died for our sins, that, and we have to walk in the fullness of the blood. We talked about the different sins that we need repentance for. And so that's one thing. I've received a couple of questions this week about something that Justin said, and I just want to bring a little bit of clarity. And also, the notes that you have in front of you, the purpose, when I do notes and I give it to you guys, the goal is to carry through into life group and to spur on discussion. So you'll see questions on the back that you guys can talk through in life group. So it's not going to be like Justin's where it's really laid out. So just forewarning. So he talked about the difference of the sin of commission and the sin of omission. And what is that? What is the two different things? And so the sin of commission, the sins of commission, are ones that are in the word and we blatantly disregard. So we're talking about adultery, we're talking about murder, we're talking about disobeying your parents, kids. All of those, those are sins of commission. But then omission is this aspect of not doing what you should. So commission is doing what you shouldn't. Omission is not doing what you should. And this was surprising for some people of, let's just say, the Lord says, hey, I want you to pray for this person. And you say, no way, Jose. That's a sin of omission because God is calling us into something and we disregard. A great example of someone in the Bible of sin of omission is Jonah, that he literally ran away from a spoken word of God and he was living in sin. It wasn't any, like there was no other sin that you could find except that he disobeyed and ran from God and what he was saying. I just want to bring a little bit of clarity on that so that we feel that weightiness. I think this is something that as we have been learning through prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit, that there is an aspect that God is going to invite us in, and then we have the ability to either respond or to not. Clear as mud? Awesome. All right. So let's hop into it. So this is called forgiveness and repentance. And the next portion that we're diving into is where I'm really going to break down practicals of forgiveness today. And how do we access this free gift? How do we walk in forgiveness apart from guilt? And How do we sustain and maintain a lifestyle of holiness through forgiveness? And this topic of forgiveness is tied many times in the Word to, this is a receiving of, we receive forgiveness from Jesus, but there's a second part of, we also give forgiveness to others that sin against us. And that's very clear that if we don't do that second one, we're not able to fully experience the first one of Jesus's forgiveness if we withhold forgiveness from others, okay? So we're going to set that up before we go into. So let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles. We're going to have it up on screen too, but 1 John 1, and we're going to be in verses 5 through 10. And this, we're going to talk about how do we access forgiveness. So 1 John 1, and we're going to start in 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we do not sin, we deceive each other, ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, so forgiveness is accessed through the confession of sin, right? So in order to access this free gift, there is something on our side where we have to say, God, I have sinned. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So first we have to say, God, I have sinned. And sometimes it's to other brothers. I have sinned and I need the blood of Jesus, the perfect work of him who died on the cross in order to forgive this. And what this is it's bringing darkness into light. One of my mentors, a long time ago, he said this one thing when I was dealing with just, I just kept messing up in this one type of sin. And I was shameful, so I hid it. And he said, the one thing, the only thing that Satan has against us is our secrets. The things that we hide in the darkness are the only thing that we should be shameful. If you say, man, I'll give you a great example that's maybe not a great example, a weird example. If I didn't have an arm, okay, and I wore a fake arm, and I'm just walking around, everybody knows that I have a fake arm, and then someone says, Rory, why don't you say that you have a fake arm? And all of a sudden, I'm shameful of something that I have been living in, and everyone is aware of it but me. But when I say, guys, I have a fake arm, so I might need some help with this, right? There's this aspect of drawing others into it that are like, hey, I am clearly messed up, and I need some help. All of a sudden, there's no shame. Yeah, Rory's got a fake arm. Everybody knows that. No big deal. So the same thing of as we are walking in this life and we have a secret sin because you're like, man, my family can't handle that I do this, or my life group, or the brother or sister that I walk with consistently, they can't handle the sin. They're going to be so upset with me. They're going to be so ashamed. And all of a sudden, God is inviting us into this, but Satan is saying, this is something that is wrong in your life, and you're not worthy of God. You're not worthy of his forgiveness. But the second that we proclaim it to God and to man, there is freedom and there is light, like it talks about in 1 John, and we get to live a guilt-free life because Satan's got nothing on us. Amen? All right, let's turn to Romans 6. And this is where we're going to start talking about identity and why this is, I believe this is in the series. So we're going to be in Romans 6, and we're going to be in verses 11 through 14 this morning. And I'm going to read some out of the New King James Version, some out of the NLT this morning. So if you have phones, you can switch between. All right, so starting in verse 11 in chapter 6 of Romans, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, and for you are not under the law, but under grace. Whew. That's good. All right, I gotta stand up for this one. So I heard a sermon recently about this, of what this is talking about is that our new identity, when we accept Jesus into our lives, and what we're gonna be doing at the end of the month of baptism, when we publicly baptism, we don't baptize ourselves alone in the bathroom, right? Like, it's a public act, because what we're saying to our brothers and what we're saying before God is, I am laying down my life and I am a dead man in Christ, or in sin, and I am alive in Christ. So there's this two aspect of, I am dead, that's my identity, but I am also alive in Christ only. I am dead to sin. And so this guy I was listening to last week, he brought up this thing of, okay, can a dead man have lustful thoughts? Can a dead man be envious? Can a dead man steal? Okay, so the reason that this is an identity of as a Christian believer is you are dead to sin. This is not saying that you can't choose sin, but you're automatic when you walk into forgiveness through the confession of sin is you are dead now. We're done. And you can access his forgiveness, and we can walk in full freedom if we so choose. And we walk in our identity is, this is not me. So that when the accuser comes and says, Rory, you're a sinner. You're a bad guy. When you have lustful thought, man, how dare you? You're not a son of God. But my identity is, no, that man is dead. My sinful nature is dead, and I choose to walk in that because I am alive in Christ. Amen. That gets me excited. So that's the first, I'm really going to let Lauren talk through baptism, but I just want you guys to think about that picture this month of that baptism is really that of saying, guys, everybody here, look, Rory is now dead. The sinful Rory is dead and I am alive in Christ. And so I am saying, look into my life. There is freedom to call out sin when it happens. And I pray to the Lord that it doesn't happen, that I am walking in righteousness. But as a community, we are now holding each other accountable that we can be righteous and that we can access the goodness of the Lord. So if we are not asking for forgiveness, we cannot receive it. And we have to be in community. So the context of, let's just take, for example, the fruits of the Spirit. You cannot obtain the fruits of the Spirit if you live as a monk in a cave, because there's no one to be patient with. There's no one to love. There's no one to be kind, to long suffer. But in the context of community, that's where we can access not only the fruits of the Spirit, but this idea of forgiveness, because it ties it so many times to that Jesus forgave us, and our job is to forgive others. But if we don't have others to forgive, what are we doing? We're only receiving one way. So embrace the mess. We talk about that a lot of, as the Spirit comes, mess comes, because he is holy and he is worthy and he will not allow us to stay in the mess that we are. He will bring all things to light, as we read in 1 John. So how do we walk in forgiveness? So there's this thing where I think we get confused, because when we receive, we say that we're believers, we say that we're forgiven, and we feel like we're not free. Has anyone experienced that before? Of you're like, I am in bondage, and I'm a believer. What's going on here? And so there's this idea that, again, the accuser is saying that you're not free. So how do we walk and know that we are free? When there is sin that happens in our lives, and there's a repentance in our hearts, there's a lack of shame. Shame and guilt are of the enemy. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is godly, okay? So I want to just draw a little bit of difference in that, of there is a very clear difference between guilt and shame in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you guys? Guilt and shame are saying, is attacking your direct identity of you are a sinner. You are a horrible person. You're not worthy of the presence of the Lord because you messed up. And we put, and Justin talked about this last week, that we put ourselves in this probation, our spiritual probation of like, I need to punish myself for a little bit until I feel worthy of his presence again. That's not biblical repentance or forgiveness. That's of the flesh. And that's partnering with the accuser. So let's turn to Romans 8. Actually, we're already in Romans, so we're just going to go right over there. And this is the first part of being free from the indwelling sin, is there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who do not walk according to guilt and shame, but walk according to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying, guys, is, again, this grace, this beautiful gift of grace that we have does not mean we can do whatever we want without consequences. What it's saying is that there is no more guilt and shame because we have an access to the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus that makes us whole. Amen. In Psalm, it talks about as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes our transgressions. So he's taking that on, but we have to encounter him with the fullness of who he's called us to be, is dead in sin. All right, Philippians 3, we're going to start in verse 12. All right, pressing toward the goal, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which that Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So what we're talking about here is as we walk in this thing of I need forgiveness, I'm repenting of my sin. What that means is, okay, guys, it's behind you. The old man, the stuff that I did, make sure that we're reconciling that. I'll tell you. There's been times like things I've did in junior high and high school. I've had to call people up in my 30s and be like, hey, do you remember when we were 12 and I did that thing to you? Man, this is eating me alive and I need to ask for your forgiveness. That's what sometimes this looks like, is the Holy Spirit, if that happens in your life, don't count it as guilt and shame. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? And a lot of times it's for them, not us, but a lot of times it is the freedom that we walk in of, I am going to leave that behind and I'm going to deal with this once and for all and ask for forgiveness from that person that I sinned against. But once that's happened, we're done. Leave it behind. You are now a new creation in Christ. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Come on, Lord. All right. So in chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I feel like we've been talking a lot about this year. If anyone was a part of Justin's small group series, that's all that this was about, is there's this idea of God that he is going to make all things new, that the old man has passed away and we are going to be sanctified with Christ. And what I believe is that sanctification is not going to stop here, that we're going to continue in the sanctification process even into the kingdom. But why not? Let's start today. Yeah? Today is a great day to start. So, we've talked about it a couple times through this message, but Satan is the accuser. And this is something that we have to understand and know. If we know the enemy's tactics, he can't win. Amen? Through the blood of Jesus. And so I've had so many conversations, even recently with myself included, of you walk in. And you walk into church after you did something, you sinned or whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, everybody's looking at me. They know what I did. They hate me. They think I'm a horrible person. And you make up these things in your mind about other people and how they think towards you, that it's an accusation or they did that thing. It could even be opposite of this person is a sinner. How dare you? Not out of love, but out of, I can't believe that person. That's the accuser. So if we understand that Satan's tactic and his identity is an accuser, we can overcome it. Okay, so let's go to Revelation 12. So Revelation 12, and this is 10 and 11. Excuse me. So this is talking about when Satan is actually thrown out of heaven, and then he is revealed as this identity of the accuser, okay? So in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, which is Satan, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to death. Okay, so he is, this might be another stand-up moment. He is an accuser. I want you to say it. Satan is an accuser. I don't know if you believe it. Satan is an accuser. We're mad. We're mad at this, right? So in the word, he said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the forgiveness of Jesus, and the word of our testimony. Okay? So what this means, and we're going to talk about it in just a second, even more in depth, but what this means is our testimony must be true of what the Lord speaks. There is a truth in the reality that we live in a world that's sinful, but there's also a kingdom truth that we are alive in Christ and that he calls us into something else. And in Revelation, it talks about when we overcome and we resist sin and sin around us in this world, that God is going to give us a new name. And it's going to be a white stone, which represents that we are free, that we have been judged and we've been found righteous in his eyes because of the blood of the Lamb. And so that testimony is, God, I have been forgiven. So let's go straight in to sustaining a lifestyle of holiness through forgiveness. So let's go in deeper to this idea of our testimony. Because in our weakness, he says, you who are weak, say that you're strong. So the word of our testimony is, the reality of life is that I am a weak man. The reality of Jesus is that I am strong. So in my identity, how do I view when I stumble because of all this thing? What happens? And again, Paul was very clear about this. Don't just sin because grace may abound. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when there is sin, be quick to repent and quick to be right back into the throne of God, into his presence. Again, do not put yourself in spiritual probation when there's aspects of stumbling. Now, what we're going to talk about, and I want you guys to really bear with me, because this is heavy, that there is a difference between this idea, and not idea, the reality of I stumble. Maybe there's that one sin in our lives that I keep falling in, but my heart is repentant and I am like, God, please deliver me from this. So there's a difference between that reality. And then there's another reality over here where there's a willful, sinful life that you have a perpetual sin in your life and there's been a call to repentance and you say, I'm good because of you fill in the blank. I've been this, or I've had this reality, or this sin is better than that sin, so I'm okay because grace abounds. And guys, I don't know if you notice, but the whole earth is being judged. Every week I hear about a church leader falling. The Holy Spirit is bringing his fire to his church. And Restoration Fellowship can either be on board with that, of saying, God, purge the sin from our body, or he will bring judgment. That's the promise of the word, that we have two choices. There's an invitation to say, turn from your wicked ways and inherit the kingdom, or I will come swiftly like a two-edged sword and cut right through it. And I will remove this from you for your sake. So this perpetual sin, how do we handle it as a church? How do we know it when in our life group or in our family and they confess Jesus and they come to church and they're living in perpetual sin? How do we address that? And the scripture is so clear on this. So I want to address the easier one first of the continually falling in sin. I heard another sermon recently, and he had a really good friend that he smoked four packs of cigarettes a day. And another one of their mutual friends who only smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, he got radically delivered. Like literally in a worship service, God encountered him. He never picked up another cigarette again. And this guy that smoked four, I mean, he was in the middle of fasting. He was calling his leader saying, please pray for me. I need to be delivered of this sin. And he was like, he was angry at God because he did it for a brother, but he didn't do it for me. Why not me? Why can't I be delivered from this sin? And the Holy Spirit broke in when he was yelling at God, which again, guys, I encourage you highly. If you are mad at God, let him know, because then he's going to break in. If you hold that in, there's going to be unrepentance and unforgiveness. So then the Holy Spirit breaks through. He says, listen, the reason you're not free from this is because you love this thing. He's like, what? I am fasting and I am praying. God, deliver me. What do you mean I love this thing? And that is true. If we really look at it in our lives, is if we are living in a sin that we are repentant of, but we can't quite break through, examine your hearts. Do you love this thing? And so the encouragement is this. Move your prayers from, God, deliver me from this thing, to, God, make me hate this thing. Or take it even further. By the word of our testimony, God, I hate this thing. Or speak to it itself. I hate anger. I hate gluttony. I hate my porn addiction. I hate, you fill it in of whatever you're dealing with. Guys, it doesn't matter. If it's food to sexual immorality, to anger, if you are living in a sin that you can't get free of, yes, come to brothers and sisters and your leadership and fast and pray, but ask the Lord to give you a hatred for that and speak from your mouth that you hate that thing. Amen? Ooh, it's heavy in here. I have felt this. I have been feeling this so deeply that the Holy Spirit weeps over us, because when we engage in sin, when we put sin higher than him, we are living an adulterous life, because we are promised. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Can we agree with that? So what that means is that we walk in holiness because he is holy. He has made a way through forgiveness. Now it's our job to walk in it. And by the word of our testimony, because the blood has covered us, by the word of our testimony, we are going to be free. And I declare that over this church, that perpetual sin, that continual sin, we are going to be free of in this church by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So perpetual sin. This is something that I don't believe the church has handled well, because we've confused God's mercy with a timeline of where he's at. He's merciful. Yes, he is so merciful. So let's just see what Paul says. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. All right, so first thing, I love these letters, because the context of them, are they're supposed to be read like this. Like Paul wrote a letter to us, and I'm going to read the letter to everybody, and everybody who's being written about is there. It's crazy. But here we go. So there's somebody in the church of Corinth that is living in sexual immorality. And he's probably there when they're reading this letter. So he's calling out the direct sin of this is horrible that this is happening. And I'm going to read in the New Living Translation because I think it captures it well. So starting in actually verse 2. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and in shame. And this is talking to the whole church. And you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must call a meeting with the church, and I will be present with you in spirit. And so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved in the day of our Lord returns. So what he's saying is, listen, guys, if you have somebody in your midst that you have called into repentance and they are living in sin, it is better for them and the church that you remove that person. Guys, this is crazy. We're talking about saying, hey, man, you're not good enough. You got to get out of church. What is this about? But he's saying it's better for that man. Give him over to Satan and let Satan do his work and pray that he is repentant and returns. That God can have his full and perfect work in him. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this is sin and it's like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing the wicked person among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. So the call in these last days, because we're going to look as well, and just bear with me for a couple minutes. In Revelation. In the Revelation, Jesus is writing a letter to the churches, and the church of Pergamos in Revelation 2, verse 12 through 17, what he's saying is, I see your works. You're doing a great job. You have overcome all of these trials. You love well. You're moving in the spirit, but I have this one thing against you, that you tolerate the teaching of the Nicolaitans. You tolerate the teaching of Balaam, which is engaging in blatant sexual immorality. And so the sin wasn't that they themselves are actually doing it. It's the tolerance of the sin and the teaching that, hey, we're good. We're all good. Going back to 1 Corinthians 5, Paul then gives some clarity. Hey, listen, guys, we're not talking about the guys that are coming in off the street. We want them all. We want the sexually immoral. We want the pagans. We want the prostitutes. We want the tax collectors. We want them all to be here. What I'm talking about is brothers and sisters in Christ that we have walked with, that we know have accepted the Lord. Again, going back to baptism, that are saying, hey, I am baptized. The old man is there. The new man is here. Boom, right there. Those are the guys I'm talking about. Those are the guys. Again, the expectation is that me, as a brother, if I am living in sin and you guys in love and in relationship, don't say, hey, man, I've noticed this thing in your life and it's not good. And here's why, by the word. I think you need to repent. And if I say, no, I'm good, then I need to be removed from this place immediately. Well, I shouldn't say immediately. There's Matthew 18. There's a lot of context behind this. But the idea is that in love, we call each other to repentance. And if repentance doesn't happen, we have got to remove this thing so that the Lord can work. And again, we are seeing it very clearly in the church right now. God has given these men that are in high levels of ministry many opportunities. Every story has this of you were called into repentance and you refused. And so God came in with a two-edged sword and sliced them out. And God, that's painful. Do you guys know how many people were hurt in the wake of all of these church? Like, people are falling away from the Lord because they're like, this isn't Christianity. What is going on? Leaders are living in blatant sin and everyone sits by? That is the call. The fear of the Lord must be on the church to be pure and spotless. Okay, Bethany, I'm going to have you come on up. So this is a heavy thing. And before you guys start looking around at who's sinning, the call of a believer is this. Is in Matthew 7, it says, before you try to get the speck out of your brother's eye, make sure you look at your own. This is a self view of ourselves first, okay? This, I'm not calling you guys to start looking and start calling out sin. I am saying examine your hearts. Are you living in sin or are you walking in repentance? And if you're living in sin, today's the day. Let's deal with this today. Let's be holy and walk in the fear of the Lord. And there is going to be times where we must call out sin. But the first thing, as this body, look inward. And so as we're going into ministry time, ministry team, come on up. Who is on ministry team? We're missing some people today. Oh, there we go. Woo! All right. Maybe I'll have you come up too if you're all right. So the first thing is that we're looking at, there's people up here who are ready to pray with you guys. If you feel like this is you, come up and let's pray with you. Have repentance in your heart and allow the Lord to do his work of forgiveness so that we can walk in freedom. In Romans 2, it says, your kindness, Jesus, leads me to repentance. So this is the kindness of the Lord. He's saying, please repent from your wicked ways and walk in the fullness of the kingdom because I love you. I want you to be full and whole and walk in your identity as a new creation in Christ. For the old man is dead and he needs to be put and left there, buried 6 feet under. To access his forgiveness, it's through repentance. And Jesus, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would silence the accuser. That guilt and shame would be removed from this place and that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would remain in Jesus' name.